Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy, episode 48. Once again, this episode is brought to you by Koi CBD. Go to koicbd.com, put in Duddy B at checkout, and you will save 20%. Yeah!
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Oh, hello. We are back for our first ever Zoom episode of Feeling Good with Duddy, episode 47, or is this... This is 47. No, this is going to be episode 48. And we have an awesome guest. He's been on the show before, Josh Canuti of the Overcoming You podcast. But before that, the man, Duddy B.
What's happening, people? That is right. We are back. Episode 48 of Feeling Good with Duddy. It's our first ever attempt at Zoom. So hope it turns out okay. Hope it sounds and looks okay for you guys. Although we are doing Zoom, I am still in the underground bunker lair, hiding out from the coronal times 100 feet above me. I have climbed down the ladder. I have swam through the pool of Purell. I have gone through the Total Recall x-ray machine. And then I have also aced my thermometer test at 98.8. And I'm ready to go for the podcast. How are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great. And I wanted to tell everybody about, we added, and this is like a little unnecessary, but we want to do it anyway. We added a full cavity search of each person that comes down. So say it goes like this: if Duddy's the first one down, he then has to do the cavity search on whoever's behind him, and vice versa. So it's like a reverse human centipede of hole checkings, just to make sure that no one's coronal. We don't even know if that helps, but we're doing it.
You know what? And at least that we're all wearing rubber gloves right now. So
yes. Yeah, you don't have to, though. That is not mandatory. But no, I am doing great. I am actually in my house, so this is kind of cool. Duddy's in the underground bunker. I'm sitting in my bedroom. I put a nice little screen behind me. And the cool thing with Zoom is you can choose the screen that's behind you. So Duddy's got his actual screen. Our guest Josh is in his podcast studio. So I've got like an old surf picture of me dressed as a skeleton behind me. I'm pretty psyched about the Zoom. It looks cool.
No, this is awesome, man. I'm excited. I feel like now that we've got this set up and we figured this out, we're just going to be knocking out podcasts every day. This is great.
Yeah, like Duddy and I are aware that social distancing needs to happen, and we had to get a few episodes out. So we've had a few episodes that took place in the bunker. And as long as we personally know the people and, you know, we do our best, gloves, masks, stay far apart, we've done a few shows in the bunker together. But now that we have this Zoom thing going, this is a good trial for Duddy and I and the show, because like Duddy just said, if this sounds good, we're going to be able to do, God knows how many episodes. Everyone's at home, we can do 5 a week. Who knows?
Who knows?
But, who knows?
Yeah, man. But I will say this, man. I think people are starting to settle down a little bit. I went to the store again yesterday. I
had to go to the store.
Like, I go once a week and I just stock up. And I didn't even like the last two, I've gone two other times and I went super early in the morning, like waited in the line, like tried to be one of the first guys. And this time I just went at like 1 in the afternoon. I was like, I just need some stuff. I'm going to go. There wasn't that many people in the store. Yep. I got pretty much everything I needed. No fucking toilet paper. where is the fucking toilet paper going? I have plenty, luckily, like I'm not, but I looked down that aisle and I was like, so there's plenty of meat and eggs and booze. There's plenty of all that shit. No toilet paper. I just don't fucking get it. Where is the toilet paper going?
I'll tell you this. There's plenty of toilet paper too. It's just one of those things that someone decided to yell toilet paper at the beginning of this. And then as humanity does, we all latched on to this toilet paper thing. There's plenty of fucking toilet. What did people think? That before this, we just manufactured a roll at a time as needed? No, there's billions of rolls. There's a sea of toilet paper out there. It's just one of those dumb things. But I can see Josh Nudy is probably jumping out of his shoes because he's like, I want to say, let's just announce our guest now so he can join us in this awesome So you guys, real quick, let me set Josh up. Josh has been on the show before. Josh, if you want to hear his life story, you'll go back and it was like episode 4 or 5. It was early on in the show. We had Josh on. He has his own podcast. It's called the Overcoming You podcast. And he went through some serious dark times in his life, suicidal times. And he pulled himself through and now he's got sort of a self-help. I mean, it's more just like a self-love, learning how to love yourself and learning how to be happy, type of podcast where he has amazing athletes and just people that have been through a lot in life. And he asks them how they got through their darkest times. We thought this is a perfect time to bring Josh back. He's such a positive guy and he's become a friend of mine after the show. We've ran races together. We've become a lot closer. So let's just bring him on. Everybody needs to feel good in this time. And we got one of the best guys ever for that. Josh Canuti, the Overcoming You podcast. What's up?
What up, what up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So yeah, toilet paper thoughts, man. Hit us with it.
With that whole toilet paper, I have this thing right next to my toilet. It's almost like a tub, if you will. And there's water that comes out and it cleans virtually anything that goes inside of it.
Wait, is it called a shower?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, I could not believe that there's toilet paper just fucking vanishing, but yet the frozen food section is just totally full. That is the last thing that I would ever want to stock up on. I want to stock up on water or fucking, you know, frozen food or whatever it is. I never would have thought, oh, let me go get a bunch of toilet paper. I don't know if people are full of shit or what, but.
Thing too, and I'm like, okay, here's a time where it's like they're like, oh, we're running out of food, like we gotta, you know, be conservative. Like you go into the meat section and stuff, and it's like, yo, one, you know, one thing of meat per person, you know, like we're conserving food, we're trying to eat less. So we're eating less, we're getting less food, but we're shitting like crazy. Like what is happening?
That's a wonderful point, Duddy. I never did the correlation between we're eating less supposedly, but shitting more. And another thing is if you don't eat, you die. If you don't drink water, you die. If you never wipe your ass again, you're going to be all
right. Right.
You're a little crusty.
Yes, but you won't be fine.
Yeah. You're going to live, dude.
I don't get it. And you know that there's people, too, that are just stocked. Dude, I have 100 rolls in my garage right now. You're like, fucking good. What are you going to go? You know what would be just fucked up right now? Just the most fucked up thing ever? Go toilet paper someone's house.
Oh.
That's what like Drake or DJ Khaled should do. Just be throwing up rolls of toilet paper. Like, who else lives like this? Who else lives like this?
In the strip club, throwing rolls of toilet paper at chicks.
Oh my God. That's two-ply, baby. That's freaking two-ply.
That's soft as fuck.
Bouncing rolls of toilet paper off the stripper. That's hilarious, dude. Oh. Good. You know there's a strip club that's still open somewhere in this country, too. They're like, we don't care, dude. We don't care. We wash the pole in between every dance, dude. We sanitize the pole.
For sure. If you're someone who, and this isn't for everyone, and I don't know, this might be, but if you're someone who frequents strip clubs, you're probably not worried about the coronavirus.
Yeah, that's valid. Did you hear about that strip club in up in Portland, what they did?
No.
So they, after like the week two or second weekend, they shut down. And then they turned over all the strippers, ended up being like Uber Eats delivery chicks. And so they would deliver all people's Uber Eats and food, but without their top on and just pasties, just, and then the owner was like trying to be like, he's such like a humanitarian. He's like, I want to make sure that my girls, they keep a job. Like, it's for humanity. They have to eat too. And so they were delivering their, all the food with their boobs out and everything. So it's kind of funny. But,
hey, ingenuity. Oldest profession on earth, right? They always say like, hey, prostitution and stripping or whatever, like oldest profession ever. And I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Then respect. They gotta earn their food somehow. And
yeah, for sure.
Guys like boobies, man, and girls.
True.
Yep. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So what's up, Josh? How are you been through all this? How are you holding up, man?
You know what? I gotta be honest, not very good. And it's not so much, my heart goes out to the people that are affected to coronavirus. And yes, it's a very important situation. Yes, we have to practice social distancing. Yes, we have to take, you know, what Anthony Fauci says, the head of immunology, and take it into consideration. But I am terrified of the negative halo effect of the economical downfall, the mental health in this America and around the world, because the signs are not going in the right direction. And like I said before we started the podcast, I kind of feel, thank you for having me on, because I want to talk about this, because I feel like I'm standing in front of the bridge and the bridge is out and I'm screaming at the bus full of Americans, a bus full of people of the world, and going, hey, everyone, stop, stop, stop. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. Because this toll on the mental health or this economical toll is going to be so much bigger than I think we realize. And some of the data has already started to come in. Domestic violence is up like crazy. It's like Chicago's up 14%. Dallas is up 21%. LA is up 12% in domestic violence. 6.6 million people filed for unemployment. And with all this types of things and sitting at home and not getting out and not figuring out how to overcome and push through and deal with this mental health crisis that may come in, is so vital. You know, I equate it to, we need to start doing things now. When I get into my car, I put my seatbelt on in case I get into an accident, not because I'm going to. And so we need to start doing things now to figure out this mental health and to attack it before it becomes so detrimental, before you get into my position that we talked about in the last podcast, where you have these suicidal thoughts or you think bad about yourself. And the thing is, what people don't understand is, like, people like the three of us, hey, we are happy-go-lucky guys, or you know, we may not have this self-deprecating attitude anymore, but it slowly creeps in and slowly creeps in if you don't attack it right away. And actually, there's a fantastic study that just came out. Sorry, I'm going to be a little bit of a dork, but I got is time to read studies and papers.
Great, man.
Honestly, people want to hear this type of stuff. Duddy and I are always talking about farts and dicks, and we love that. Yeah. But we wanted you on for this reason, so let's hear some real talk, man.
So there's a neuroscientist, Rebecca Sachs, out of MIT, that put out a great study, and she actually was formulating it and doing the peer-reviewed study before COVID and Corona hit, and then actually just published it. And what they realized is that when you put somebody in isolation, the first thing that happens in the brain is you start to have these cravings. You start to crave food. You start to crave water. Well, what happens in social isolation is the exact same portion of that brain starts to crave social interaction, starts to crave social touch. And I said it on another podcast. I know it's an odd thing to say, but I've never craved a hug from another dude so much in my life than I have right now, you know?
Isn't it weird seeing your closest friends and you're like, I went to the underground bunker the other day, and I didn't know that Duddy was there with his family. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's my family. Duddy's my brother. So when I walked in, my little nephew, Duddy's son, ran and jumped into my arms with a big hug. And I was like, oh, I looked at Duddy's wife and I was like, is this okay? I swear it's this weirdness. Yeah. Like, my own 8-year-old nephew wanted to hug me. And I felt like, am I allowed to right now? You're right.
I told my friend Mark, who's going to be my pool guy, he came over yesterday to check out the pool, and he just came into the backyard really quick to just look at it and make sure it was all running smoothly. And my wife comes out, who my wife and my kids, like, they haven't really left the fucking house. Like, they've been locked down pretty much. Yeah. And she came in the backyard and she's like, oh, hey, Mark. And she just ran up and gave him a hug. And Mark looked at me like, and I looked at him and she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she backed up and she looked at me like, oh my, like she had just done the worst thing in the fucking world. She
yeah.
just hugged. And it's like, that's where we're at.
Yeah. And the thing is, April 5th, that was my birthday. And so it was the weirdest fucking birthday I ever had. I had a Zoom call, so I had 20 different people, but I had people stopping by, and no disrespect, and to each their own. Some people stopped by in a car and wouldn't roll down the windows, but they put a happy birthday. Some people rolled by on the car, rolled down the windows and talked from me afar. Some people got out of the car and got close. But me being an extrovert, that fucking killed me, because my favorite thing on the planet, just for me, Josh Canuti, is to sit around a table and just fucking bullshit with my buddies and bullshit with my friends and just chill. That is my favorite fucking thing to do. Jake, after we do runs, when we just sitting around and we get our beer, that's one of my favorite things ever, just to talk shit and joke around with people. And I couldn't do that. And actually, what these sociologists and neuroscientists are starting to realize is that it's a detriment to the mental state of America and up to the world. But there are some things that we can do right now to overcome and push back through this. And I wish, Duddy and Jake, I wish it was something so magnanimous or something new that you haven't heard before, but it's the simplest things are often sometimes the best things. What's some of the best things for you? Eat fucking healthy. The biggest thing we have to do, there's about five things that some of these psychiatrists and neurologists are saying that we have to do. One, you got to fucking move your body. You have to stay active. I know it's so simple. And if you don't like working out, play soccer with your kids. Play basketball with your kids. If you don't have kids and you still don't like working out, walk around the block just one time. And then tomorrow, walk around the block two times. Progress equals happiness. It's proven. If you don't want to walk around the block, as you sit there and watch fucking Tiger King, stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. Do it 10 times. And then tomorrow, do it 11 times. Then tomorrow, do it 12 times. Start to write a blog. If you ever wanted to learn an instrument, just learn two chords a day and just figure out how to transition between A and G, A and G, E and A. I'm stupid when it comes to music, but some sort of progress, some sort of start to read. If you don't like reading, once again, put it in forms where you're feeling like you accomplished something. So, hey, I don't like to read, but read something, read three pages. Tomorrow, read four pages.
Get an audiobook. You know, audiobooks are
great. Audiobook, something. Yeah, listen to 10 minutes. Tomorrow, listen to 11. But yeah, have progress and have this mental stimulation, because you have to have some sort of physical activity and some sort of mental stimulation. You have to figure this out. Otherwise, these mental thoughts start to erode our self-worth, and you start to get in there because, like I said, it's this Chinese water torture. Each time you eat something bad, each time you sit on the couch, it slowly and slowly gets more and more aggressive, and you start to fall into these bad patterns. And what's happening right now, people are setting habits up right now. That's another thing that we have to figure out on how to overcome this, is don't overindulge. And I can speak from experience. The second day of this whole thing, I went, dude, this is like fucking vacation. What is this, 12 o'clock? What is that, a beer? Pop yep. that beer. And I was buzzed by 6, and then eating pizza the next day, same exact thing. Popped a beer, and I went, hold up, I can't get into this habit. And because now, you know, as we see here right now, the government just said, or LA just said that the social distancing or shelter in place is going to what, May 15th?
Yep.
Now, so now we're sitting here 30, 45 days in this habitual state, and whatever habits you're starting right now, when this thing does go back to whatever the new normal is, it's going to be very fucking difficult for people to stop these habits or try to go back to the old way. So first thing, stay active, do some sort of mental stimulation, have some sort of progress, but track that progress. Stay on a schedule is so important. Try to get up at the same time every day. You don't have to be a freaking maniac like me and get up at 4 o'clock and then meditate and then work out. Whatever it is, you get up at 9, get up at 9. Stay steady and stay consistent. Try to eat at the same time. Try to go to bed at the same time as much as you can. Try to do those things. And then the last one is just be, I say this all the time, but at the end of every single one of my podcasts, at every single post, be kind to yourself. And realize that goes for everything. Be kind to yourself in what you eat, but be kind to yourself. I had this thing happen, you know, with my wife. I got really snappy at her. But, you know, we're all in this heightened sense of awareness, and we're actually having these two types of nervous systems happen. You have the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic is your fight or flight, which when we're scared and we're hunkered down, this is what's happening. But when you're in that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, the logic part of your brain literally shuts down, so you are not able to make logical decisions. So you snap at your wife like I did, and now you have trouble in the home. And next thing you know, you get domestic violence, and my wife is beating the hell out of me, you know, and I got to stop here and say, oh, I fell, you know. But it's so important that we attack these things and we do these things consistently and don't just take this as a time to watch 7 hours of Netflix or pop that beer at noon or not work out. Got to do something now, please.
This is the same thing that happens to sometimes people when they retire. So a lot of times when older people retire, they'll just get into this mindset of, oh, okay, well, I worked my whole life, I'm done, and now I'm just chilling. But how the brain works is that if you're not doing something new, if you're not learning, or if you're not challenging yourself, your brain just stops creating new avenues. Like you have to, like you said, you have to read a book, you got to exercise, you have to push your body, and you have to make your body do things that it wouldn't naturally do, because that makes your brain work and it opens up new avenues for your brain to survive and thrive. If you're not doing anything new, if you get into this thing of like, well, it's coronal times, I'm retired, I'm on the couch, I'm watching Netflix, I'm eating, I'm not using my brain for anything, your brain starts to work against you.
Yes.
And that's why sometimes when people retire, they like, sometimes you'll see people that pass away like a few years later, or if a husband and wife are older and the wife or the husband dies, the other one dies pretty soon after, because once your partner's gone, the person that you did things with, you just go, okay, well, I'm just in my house and I'm sitting here watching TV every day, and your brain just gives up.
Yeah.
This will start to happen. It's like you said, when this coronal thing first started, it was almost like a winter vacation. Duddy and I talked about this. We're like, well, this is interesting, masks, and we don't have to go to work, but now it's long enough into it that it's like, okay, it's starting to affect everyone.
Yes.
A little bit. If you lock yourself in the house and just watch TV and don't use your brain and don't use your body, your body and brain will start to fucking turn on you.
Yep. So yeah. Like I said, it's a slow, methodical thing that happens. And most of the individuals listening to this right now are like, Josh, Jake, Duddy, would you shut the fuck up? I love Tiger King. I love binging.
Dude, I watched it all.
I watch it all too. But the other thing is, if you are going to do the TV or going to do that, use it as a tool. Watch a documentary, learn something. And there's another thing. I talked to a psychiatrist that at Harvard Medical, there's actually a class that these medical students have to take. It's called laugh therapy. And what they're realizing, you know, that whole additive, you know, laughter is the best medicine. It literally is one of the best medicines. It reduces stress. It reduces their cortisol chemical, which is a stress hormone. It increases blood flow, increases your heart rate, opens up the capillaries, increases overall immune system response, increases antibodies, increases serotonin, dopamine, and it excretes endorphins. So you get this euphoric kind of state. And the same thing goes with laughter, and the same thing goes with music. And I swear, I'm not saying this because we have become friends. I'm not saying this because I'm on your fucking podcast. I'm not giving you sunshine up your ass, but this is why you guys have to continue doing your podcast. Duddy, that is why you have to continue going live with your music, because whether you feel it or not, somebody's day is making better because they chuckle at a dick or fart or shit joke on here. Somebody's day is better because you play, oh, I'm going to go a deep cut on you, because you play Stand Tall, you know, or you go live. This is so critical, and it may seem so small to you two, but you don't understand the importance, or nay, the obligation that I feel you guys have to do, to put out positivity, to put out laughter. It's a simple chuckle, a simple riff, or some of your rhymes, they can make somebody's day better. So I applaud you. And like I said, I'm not throwing sunshine at you, but there's so much that you guys are doing good that maybe you don't know. So I implore you to keep going and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And honestly, it's like, that's one of the things that, you know, when I really think about it, that kind of has kept me going in music for so long. It's like, you know, you start playing shows, and that first time you really see, you know, someone in the crowd just like, oh my God, like I love this song or this. And you just be like, wow, what I'm giving to these people is really brightening their day, and it's brightening up their life. And then in return, you get that feeling back from them.
Yep.
So, you know, we're so used to, that's what we do. We go out, we play shows, and we put out this energy that we, you know, we love what we do, and we really put passion in it. And those fans, they give it right back to us. And that feeling is like, man, that's really what keeps us going. And not able to do that right now, it's fucked up. It's weird. Like I've never been so distant from, you know, the fans or just music in my whole career, you know, so this is different, but you're so right, man. Me and Jake, we've talked about how blessed we are to have this podcast. Yep. We still get to like, you know, communicate and talk and get our feelings out. And at the same time, we're still keeping really in touch with, you know, our listeners, and, you know, they're giving us the positive feedback. Like you said, like, thank you so much. That podcast, you know, really brightened my day. I get such a laugh every time you come out. And again, now I'm getting that energy back from them. I'm like, ah, all right, good.
Yeah,
makes me feel good that we are making you guys feel good, you know? So it's a cycle, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. And with this podcast and with your, I have a couple of buddies, the Dirty Heads played a show up in Big Bear.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how, it was a free show. I don't know how many years ago that was. Every single time I get a text or they're in Big Bear, they go, they have the full on pass and they board every which way. And every single time they're in Big Bear, they always send it to the text message, fellas. And it's like, God, that show was so fucking amazing. You gave them a memory that lasts forever. And so I know we were talking about it a little bit before the podcast, but that's something I wanted to ask you, Daddy. I can only imagine the, so many years you in this game and so many arenas and shows and stadiums and the adulation and the feeling of response and that immediate feedback and the energy that you get. How is that? How are you doing from a sincere mental aspect? Because not having that, it's like a drug. It's like you're going through withdrawals. So how are you dealing with it, or what's going on with you?
You know what? It's been weird. Like we were talking, like it happened so abrupt. I was mid tour with the acoustic Roman Duddy tour, and we were having such a great time out there. The whole time we were just like, man, this is such a fun tour. This is so nice, you know, and we were just having such a good time. And it was like we heard about this virus thing happening, and like the next day it was like, you're going home. And everything just stopped. And now all of our tours and all of our shows in the future are just gone. There's nothing planned. So I've never had this, like, there's always been something coming up. There's always been shows coming up. There's always been a tour coming up. There's always been something coming up that we're working for. We're rehearsing. We're getting ready for it. Or, you know, I'm packing. I'm doing whatever. Getting ready. I have nothing to get ready for. So, like, there's this weird lull in my brain of, like, what am I doing? What are we doing? And you're right. Yeah. That energy that we're so used to receiving of like that feedback from the fans and just like, that's our lives. That's all we know. And it's just kind of gone. And it's weird, but luckily I have an amazing family at home. You know, my kids are taking it really well and we're spending a lot of really great quality family time together, which is amazing. I'm loving that. And doing the podcast has really helped too, you know.
Yes.
Fuck, man. I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss the shit out of playing some shows right now.
Oh. Yeah, I wanted to touch back on what you said. Like, hopefully we are making people laugh and making people feel good in this downtime. And I know that we are, because we get so many messages with people saying, thank you guys so much for keeping the podcast alive. And thank you for making us laugh. We need it. But the listeners need to know, Duddy and I would have nothing to do right now if it weren't for them. We wouldn't be hanging out with Josh Canuti on our Zoom right now. So the listeners, by simply way of listening to our show and contacting us online, it's giving Dustin and I something to think about. We have to book our next show. What's our next show going to be about? It's creating avenues in Duddy and my brain to keep us busy and to keep our brains going. So as much as the listeners, we hope, are thankful for us, dude, we're endlessly thankful for the listeners. I'm a barber. I cut hair. I have not been able to cut hair for a month now. So if I didn't have this podcast, I would not have a community to be talking to right now. So the biggest thanks on earth is to our listeners, and you guys give Duddy and I and Josh as much as we are hopefully giving you, for sure. Like,
there's a behavioral sociologist out of Harvard, Elizabeth Dunn, I think is her name. And she talks about the perfect intersection of an output is when creativity and caring intersect. And so when you have this podcast, like you guys said, you sit there and you care about the product that comes out. It may seem tongue in cheek, but you put a lot of effort into it. I know, trust me, we are a podcast together. I know it takes a lot of effort and caring to put in it, but you're also creative. And same thing with, you know, music, the creative, and you care about those people having a good time. Because if you didn't care, you would not put the creative effort that you put out there. And so when you have this intersection of creativity and caring, that's when you have some of the best outpouring or product or tangible things that happen with like this podcast or like, you know, your music and stuff. So it's just a testament to that whole psychology and everything. But the other thing is, you know, on a good note is, you know, I was kind of thinking, okay, what's going to come out of this situation? And there's going to be some really cool businesses, I think, that are going to be coming out of it. You know, one of the things is I think we all need to praise Steve Jobs or whoever, because we get to have this Zoom call. So how cool is this?
Yeah.
But, you know, I looked this up the other day. Listen to what happened in 2008. Here are some businesses that came out of that last downturn. Maybe you've heard of them. I'm not sure. Dropbox, Groupon, WhatsApp, Uber, Venmo, Slack, Square, Pinterest. Oh, yeah. And Instagram. You ever heard of that?
So you're saying after like the housing crisis kind of in the mid 2000s, yeah. That's
2008. That's when all those things happened. And then the other good thing is, on a kind of funny note, obviously there's some good loving going on, because one of the major manufacturers of condoms over in Malaysia, they're all out of condoms. So at least there's some good loving happening somewhere.
So that's where all the toilet paper's going, man. People
stop. Oh my God. there's a bunch of crusty ass toilet paper out there and some trash.
No, but man, it's so true. And what you were saying too, with like the care and the, you know, creative meat. And I think that really shows too, like in music, and I, you know, you could tell when it's someone is playing music that they love because they really enjoy this style of music and this song. Like, I wrote this song and I love this. And you can tell when there's just like someone who's going through the motions, who had a song written for them and they're just like, I'm doing this because I want to be famous. And there's a different vibe you can get there. But when you do create that, you know, passion for something like this podcast or like music, and you're giving everything you have to it, and you're putting out all this love, and then you see other people receiving that and like, oh my God, and you're brightening their day, and then they give you that back, and you just create this cycle of this love that doesn't make you feel good.
Oh, I started to see it coming, and I'm like, you.
Ooh, I didn't. I'll be honest. Halfway through, I blacked out. I didn't know where I was going.
That was one of your best, too. Oh, you just went into complete segue mode there. I saw a cape flapping behind you for a minute. This guy is soaring.
Oh, well, speaking of feeling good, on this podcast, we have some sponsors that make us feel really good. And as always, from day one, Koi CBD, what an amazing product. What an amazing company, guys. We love this product. I say it every episode. I take those droppers every day. You know what's great now? They just gave me these big, huge dropper bottles with a spray in it. So now I just open my mouth and and I hit it up. And also another very cool product that they just came out with, but I've been loving. They got an inhaler. The CBD inhaler, 1,000 milligram hitter, just blap, straight into the bloodline. That is amazing. But here's the coolest thing they got going on right now, guys. Everybody needs this right now, and they have it. Hand sanitizer. That's right. And they're doing a very cool thing. With every ounce of hand sanitizer they sell, they are matching that and giving it to hospitals and first responders all through Southern California. So guys, go to koicbd.com, get some CBD, get some hand sanitizer, and put in code DUDDYB at checkout for 20% off your order. That's right. Oh, the drop's a little low today, but that's okay. We're zooming.
I held them back
and also
blow out the Zoom. So I'm trying to figure out where to hold. I'm doing the drops from my phone through a Zoom right there. So
yeah.
Doing my best, everyone.
All good. But also one more product that we love, one more company, Onnit, and that's Onnit with two N's, ONNIT.com. This company has so many amazing products and supplements. Whatever you are looking for, they have it. Right now, personally, I talked about it on the last episode. They have this product. It's called New Mood, and everybody can use this right now in these stressful times. It's not a sleeping pill. It's not going to knock you out right when you take it, but it does just help relax you. I take it about 5 p.m. So then at the end of the night, it's just kind of relaxing. It puts me in a calm mood. And then when I do fall asleep, I sleep through the whole damn night. It's amazing. It's called New Mood. Check it out. And as always, the Alpha Brain. I love it. I take it every day. Helps keep me sharp. Keeps my memories, you know, strong. So go check it out. Onnit.com, ONNIT.com/Duddy. You get 10% off your order. Go get it.
Bam. Okay. You nailed it, Duddy.
Thanks.
What a read. What a segue, and what a read. This Zoom thing is working out, dude.
You really got this thing down. You know, the other thing not to be a total company man, but Onnit has this other thing. It's vitamin D drops. And, you know, the information on this COVID thing changes every which way, but there's that vitamin D and zinc could be a real helper. And so us in Southern California, we can just go outside and get some vitamin D. But if you're in places where they just had that tornado or whatever, they have this vitamin D drop. So get some of those too. And like we talked about before, get some supplements. If you're not eating healthy, at least go to Onnit, go somewhere and get some vitamins and get some quality supplements in you, because garbage in, garbage out. And then now we're all already back to the toilet paper conversation. So
well, I'm glad you kind of touched back on the taking care of yourself, because I did want to mention something that a friend of mine, that's actually a friend of Josh's, my buddy Enrique, who ran both races that Josh and I have done together. He ran those with us. So my buddy Enrique is a track and field and a cross country coach and a high school teacher, and school's out. He's not running with his kids, and he's not, you know, teaching. And Enrique has taken this time off. This dude is running about 6 miles a day right now. And he's, you know, putting it out online. And I had a conversation with him. I'm like, dude, you are charging. You're running so much. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I just thought to myself, we're all forced to have time off right now. And he's like, if I don't better myself during this time off, he's like, what am I doing with this? He's also, I'm going to take this time off as some sort of blessing for me, and I'm going to get myself back in shape. Because although he is the track and field cross country coach, and although he did run those two races with Josh and I, he wasn't running before. He was coaching, he was teaching, and he had put on a lot of weight, and he was feeling a bit. He's like, this dude has dropped, I don't even know how much weight during this time off. And he told me, he's like, dude, if I don't use this time off to better myself, if I don't come out of this quarantine as a better version of me, he's like, I'm stupid. I'm given a free time off to just better myself. And so that goes to everybody out there. Just use this time for you, man. Like Josh said earlier, read some books, make yourself smarter, get out and run, do a million push-ups, and come out of this coronal quarantine a better you. You have the opportunity, do it, you know?
Yeah, I'm convinced that one of the best feelings on the face of the planet is when you are truly 100% void of ego, void of narcissism, proud of yourself.
Oh, God, yes.
So that's one thing that I wanted you to talk about. And sorry if you touched on it before, but Jake, I think you're a perfect example of this, like, started small and now ending big. So, you know, we've done a couple of bigger races, you know, 5K, we did some trail runs, but I think on the last podcast that I was on, you started with 1 mile, right? You started with just 800 meters, whatever it is. And after that, you felt so fucking good about yourself. Now, to the outside world or to a runner, 1 mile is jack shit. 1 mile is nothing, but it's all relative. It's all relative. And that's where, when you stop and don't get into this comparison bullshit, and which is why I say, like I talked about, walk around the fucking block. But can you kind of tell a little bit, Jake, how did you honestly feel about yourself seeing where you started running and then now some of these races that we've done along the way?
So running is like the easiest way to chart progress ever. Because if anyone's like me, where like I'm in shape, I surf, and, you know, I would train martial arts, but I never ran. Running is a whole different thing because, you know, surfing's fun. If you like kicking and punching, it's fun. You're kind of doing what you want to do anyway. Running is fucking tedious. And the thing about running is most people, when you start running, your body's just going, dude, stop running. Just stop. Why are you running? You know, your body's telling you, you don't need to do this anymore.
Unless someone's chasing you, you're like...
Unless someone's chasing you, you have the motivation to run is 100% within you. So when I... In January 21st of this year, the first race that I ran with Josh here, I've never run a race in my life. I've never been a big runner. And I started by going, I ran 1 mile, and it was like the slowest, most, 100 yards into the mile, I wanted to stop, and I was out of breath. And I kind of was thinking, I'm a man, the race I'm going to do at the end of January is 4 miles. I'm like, I can't even run 1 mile. And it was a trail run. So it was up and down in canyons, you know, and I'm just running up the street. But the thing with running is the progress happens really quick. So the second and third time you run, it still sucks, but you're mentally, you already know I can run the mile, so I'm just going to do it. And then after about a week of running, you go, all right, I'm going to push it to 1.5 miles. And then running a mile and a half sucks. But once you do it one time, your body goes, well, you know, you can do it. So you keep doing it. And then very quickly running will take you to 2 miles and then to 3 miles. And then you start telling yourself, well, shit, I kind of want to see how far I can go. So I literally ran a mile at the beginning of January and was like, that was the worst thing I've ever done. I hated it, but I signed myself up for a race so that I had to do it. I'm like, I'm signed up. I paid the money. I told friends they're running it with me. I have to run the 4 mile race. It forced me to run. And then I started seeing the progress. So for everybody out there who's like, I'm doing nothing. I'm just on the couch strictly watching Tiger King, which is exactly where I was before, you know, when January began of this year. Start with running a mile or start with just doing one push-up and then you'll see. Push-ups are the same thing. You might try to do 10 push-ups and they're so freaking hard, but if you do 10 push-ups a day for a week, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to do 20 now. Yeah. And then you start feeling proud of yourself. So I remember after I ran that race, January 21st, 4 miles up and down a canyon, even in my trail running around the neighborhoods, I'd never ran 4 miles. I never even ran three. So I got up to about 2.5 miles before I did that race. But I knew I wasn't going to freaking die. So like Josh said earlier, I wasn't in competition with anyone else in this race. My goal wasn't to be first place. My goal was to finish the race. I was like, I don't care if I'm dead last. I'm going to run 4 miles. I did it. I'd never felt so proud. And then I signed up for another race and I signed up for another race. And just give yourself little goals and force yourself to achieve. And you'll see running. You will get better at running so fast that it'll blow your mind, and then you'll be proud of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Each time you do that, each time you do something that you don't think you can do when it's good for you, it's like a mental curl or mental like push up. And what you're doing is you're literally training your brain to go against, like for me, I had 36 years of me proving to myself that I quit and, or I start something and I quit, I start something and I quit. I don't follow through. But I had to start so small, and you start with these little tiny things. So even if you can do right, even if you're a super CrossFitted person, but if you do 10 push-ups and then tomorrow do 11 and then tomorrow do 12, even though it may be simple, you're retraining that brain and actually connecting new connections and synapses and dendrites and new neural pathways to show yourself that you do follow through and that you do complete what you actually put yourself out there to do. So it's so important, and it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be running a mile. It could be something small.
Small is better, right? Like you said, because let's, for everyone who's listening right now, let's get in the habit of like Josh just said, completing your goal. So if you give yourself a crazy goal, I'm going to do 100 push-ups every day starting today. Let's make sure you accomplish it every time. So let's start with 10 push-ups. I'm going to do 10 push-ups throughout the day today. Anyone listening right now can achieve that, right? And then make sure whatever goal you're setting is achievable, and then keep pushing that ceiling up a little higher. But yeah, it's like you said, start with very tiny goals. If you're someone listening who's never ran, just try to get through a mile. And if you walk half of the mile, fine.
Yes.
Start small and then build. And yeah, because like, you know, we always get in that habit. I'm going to start working out today, and I'm working out every day for the next month. Then what happens is if you miss one day, you just give up because you're like, well, I already fucked up my goal. My goal was to work out every day this month. Nah, your goal is to walk or run 1 mile today. That's it. If it takes 30 minutes to do the mile, fine. You did it.
Yep.
Tiny steps, right? And then, yeah. So everyone who's listening, that's what's up. We're all of us, Duddy, Josh, myself, everyone who's listening, we're going to choose something today that we don't do. So if, you know, Josh and I, we run, we'll choose something else, do burpees, something that we hate. And let's say we're going to do 10 of those today, just a small goal. So everyone who's listening right now, choose something very small and just accomplish that today. And then tomorrow, another tiny, small goal, maybe a little bigger than today's goal. Make sure it's accomplishable and then do it.
I'm going to go one up. Everybody right now, pause the fucking podcast, drop down, give 10 push-ups.
Are we going to do 10 right now, boys, then?
No, we're doing 10. Right,
everyone, let's 10 do push-ups.
So you're gonna everybody hear home, 10 push-ups.
10 moments of silence real quick, guys. Bam, son. We did it. And remember with push-ups, here's the best thing that anyone ever told me. I've said it on the show, but I'll say it real quick again. do not count push-ups as I just did 10 push-ups today. I just added 10 push-ups to my life. So that's another way to really achieve with the push-ups. You know, you wake up and you tell yourself, I'm going to do, 100 push-ups today. And if you don't do the 100, you go, I'm already a failure. Why even try tomorrow?
Yep.
Just wake up and go, I'm going to do one push-up today. Guess what? You're going to end up doing more than one. And you didn't just do your push-ups for today. You added push-ups to your life. We're doing a life total of push-ups, everybody. So if you can't do them today, you do them tomorrow, and you're just adding them to your life. I don't know how many I've done now in my life. Maybe a million. Who cares? Every time I drop down and do one, I've added to the life total.
Yep.
Let's just think of it like that, and let's just keep achieving, y'all.
So,
holy
forward here. Should we try and get into like a segment? Did Jake inform you on any of these new segments we have?
I did tell you about the scary story one. I guess real quick before we move on, is there anything else you wanted to, like moving away from the coronal talk is there anything else you want to say to sum that up? Or should,
I think you broke that down perfectly. I think what we talked about, I think if everybody realizes that, hey, if you are not quote unquote feeling bad or depressed or whatever, still do this for maintenance alone. And if you are feeling depressed or whatever, I'm telling you, if you put on James Brown, I Feel Good, you're going to feel better. I guarantee you. You have to be dead inside if that song doesn't make sense. The devil himself can come in here and you put James Brown Feel Good, he'd be like, that's a pretty good song.
All right,
I get it.
To touch back on the laughter thing, everybody, yep, watch a stand-up comedy. There's a million of them on Netflix. There's a million of them. Let's try to laugh today too, like rather than maybe watching a scary or dark or intense show tonight, let's at least make sure that we watch a stand-up comedy and make sure we laugh a couple times, then it's back to the murder mysteries. Right?
You're so right. Yeah. You said it right there, guys. I had to stop because I fucking love murder mysteries.
Oh,
I don't really have a lot of shows I like. I'm not like a TV guy much. So like at the end of the night when the kids go to bed and the wife passes out or whatever, I'll just like put on First 48 or something like that,
Because it's kind of like mindless.
It's kind of mindless. You're just watching and blah, blah, and I enjoy them. And that was like, I was ending every night with murder mysteries. And I started like, I was like, this is kind of fucked up. Every night I'm going to bed just like watching families getting murdered and shit. And I switched it. I was like, comedy. Now at night, I'm ending my night with some stand-up comedy. And I noticed, like, I kind of feel better in the morning. Like, I can only imagine what my brain's thinking every night. Oh. I'm fucking laying in bed after watching 3 hours of people dying. Like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit gets into your subconscious. And that's the other thing with, the things that we tell ourselves, if you say like, oh my God, Josh, you're so stupid. Like, even if you say it like jokingly, like, oh, Josh, you're so stupid. Or Jake, you say it to yourself. Oh, it's better to be sarcastic with a positive word. Be like, oh, Josh, you're so smart. Because literally in the brain, talking to this neuroscientist, in the brain, the hippocampus and hypothalamus is the memory portion. It does not know sarcasm. It does not know, but it knows everything that you say. So it does not know. So having those, watching those comedy things at night, that's an uplifting, empowering thing. Saying good, using good neuro-linguistic practices are really, really good for the brain and for the self-esteem and for the mental health. So everything that we talked about, eating well, active, watching some comedy, listening to some freaking Dirty Heads, listening to some deep cuts of some James Brown, some Elvis little conversations, these songs and these things will get you going and get you happy and put a smile on your face and then able to attack those push-ups, attack those runs. Because you're not going to do something positive with a negative mindset. It's going to be very difficult. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw this out here too, a new little thing. So I was having some weird dreams, and that was part of the reason why I was like, dude, I got to stop watching First 48s at night. Right. And I had this reoccurring dream like a bunch of times. Like, and it was one of those where it's like, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh my God. And I fall back asleep right back into it. And this happened like multiple nights, same fucking dream. And maybe you or our listener could fill me in with, what does this mean? And it's just, when I wake up, I'm so tense and I'm like, oh, I have a flight and I just cannot get to it. Like I'm constantly trying to make it onto this plane because I have a flight somewhere and just, I can never get to this fucking plane. Every obstacle possible is in the way. And I just never make the flight. And I just wake up just so fucking stressed out. What is that?
I'm not a dream therapist, but that's right? Gotta be.
But it's like, and then I'll go, yeah. I'll fucking fall back asleep, right back in it. Just can't catch the light, man.
The worst.
It's like, dude, the last one I had, I remember it. The last one, it was a couple days ago, and I went through it all night again, and I finally got to the plane. I didn't have my passport. And that was, like, was just like, oh my God.
Dude, so I got married in the Dominican Republic, and we went down, this is years ago, and I went and I hid my passport. My wife and I got there, hid my passport. We're getting ready. We're leaving from the Dominican Republic to go to our honeymoon to the Maldives. We have to have our passport. I could not find this fucking thing at all. I had 50 friends that flew down. All 50 friends are in my hotel room, turning everything up every single which way. I do not know where the fucking passport is. I got to leave. I'm talking to, I have a buddy that got quite a few nickels to rub together. He's like, all right, this is what we do. We go to the U.S. consulate. We get an airplane. We fly you to a naval base. We get on the plane there, and then we go to there. I'm like, I don't have that kind of money. He's like, don't worry about it. We got this fucking handled. And then next thing you know, flipped up the mattress, and I put our passports underneath the mattress, but way in the middle of it for some god-awful reason, just so hopefully it didn't go anywhere. But that feeling of not having your passport and having a plane to catch, like, oh, my God. What
oh,
the
my God. You're not even a human at that point.
No.
Who are you? Where's that piece of paper that says who you are? Get out of here.
Yeah, there was a couple. I'd be getting up at like fucking 4 a.m. Like you were saying, you get up 4. I just get up and like, you know what? I'm up. I'm not going back to bed because I know I'm going right back into that stressful ass fucking dream. Fuck it. I'm up.
I don't want to be late for a flight.
I'm not catching it. So
I feel like I could have played the Scary Town music under those two stories because I was just like clenching my fist.
Yeah.
So, back to some of the new segments that Duddy was bringing up. I did talk to Josh about, I at least told you that we have a segment now called Scary Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything like that? Do you think you've ever seen a ghost, an alien encounter, a spooky story of any kind?
I don't have any ghosts or alien, but I do have, so I've been going to Yosemite since I was 15 years old.
Okay, hold on. Before you get into it, We got a drop that Duddy's going to do live. But I'm glad you do have something.
Live,
I love that it's in the forest already. That I'm already stoked.
Hit me.
I'm gonna change my background to some wooded area behind me on the Zoom. But let me give you a little bit of some music here, Duddy. You going to do it?
I'll do it. Can you turn that up?
Yeah, I can turn it up. I don't know if it was too loud. Is that better?
Okay. Have you ever been scared? Welcome to the Scary Zone.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Nailed it. All right. Go on with your story, bud.
So I've been going to Yosemite pretty much every year with friends, family that I kind of grew up with. And probably about 7-8 years ago, I had kind of reconnected with an old buddy that I hadn't seen forever. And my buddy is the quintessential don't judge a book by its cover. So let me kind of paint the picture of what this guy looks like. He is literally tattooed from head to toe on his face before face tattoos were cool. Definitely looks scary, but the nicest guy you will ever, ever meet. He just happens to love tattoos and is infatuated with it. But we're getting ready to go up to Yosemite and he goes, hey, should I bring my gun? And I'm like, no, you don't need a gun. It's Yosemite, dude. Freaking relax. And so we're sitting there and it's me, him, and another buddy, and he has Twizzlers inside the tent. And we're drinking in the middle of the meadow there, and so we're a little bit buzzed. We go to crash out, and then all of a sudden we hear a zzz, and then my buddy wakes me up, my tattoo buddy. He's like all terrified. He's got like a little tiny like stick. And he's like, Josh, something undid the tent. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you, man. Zip it back up, you know? So zip it back up. And so we go back to sleep. And next thing I know, I hear the zip. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, Jeremy, do you hear that? He goes, yeah, dude, I fucking heard that. We need to get the hell out of here. And so we got 3 days left on this trip. And so we sit there. And then finally, I tie the two little like loops that come off the zipper. I tie it on together. So I tie them tight. And then next thing I know, I wake up and my buddy Jeremy is screaming at the top of his lungs, and I have two massive red raccoons on my chest. Oh, I jump up I scream like a woman. Scratch that. I scream like a 3-year-old, 6-year-old girl. I scream at 4 o'clock in the morning. I run out and we sit there and we huddle together. My big scary looking tattooed dude up and down. We're in the corner. As soon as daylight hits, we jump in the car. Fuck the last 3 days of it. And we take off. These two little tiny red raccoons had two grown ass men scream like little tiny girls. Probably needed some toilet paper at that time. Yeah. And got in there and took off at freaking daybreak. So it was so funny to see this quintessential, like, gnarly, tough dude. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu tattooed on his face. And then me, these two tiny little fucking things scared us right out of fucking Yosemite.
That is
so terrifying.
Creepy, though. Like, the opening, the zipper, like...
Yeah, that's like, crappy.
I've seen fucking Blair Witch and shit, man. It's like, nah.
Crappy, so, dude.
Raccoons? Any type of vermin is scary because we're not people that live in the woods. We're from the beach, and even though we hike and we camp and stuff, bro, raccoons are gnarly because every once in a while where I live in these apartments, there'll be like a raccoon family will get into the trash can. Every once in a while, I'll go take out the trash at night, throw your trash in, and every once in a while, whap, I'll see two hands and a face pop up because they're in the trash. And dude, raccoons got claws.
Oh, yeah.
They look like they're
fucking adorable, but yeah.
I'm not fighting a raccoon. They look like they jump high. I mean, no way.
No,
and they have like hands and like thumbs. And
they've got
new math and stuff. It's fucking weird.
I'll never forget the time. It was when I threw trash away right here. And it was just as soon as the trash hit the dumpster, just bam, I saw the two claws and a head pop up. And I was like, yeah, I jumped just like you. I don't even remember my feet hitting the ground. I floated up the stairs back into my apartment.
Yeah, that was the scariest way to wake up with this flashlight on this red raccoon literally on my chest. Oh my god,
insane.
Oh fuck, so terrifying.
If it was on my chest, yeah, because then have you ever had your car broken into?
Yeah.
And you go back when you walk up to your car the next morning or whatever and everything's open and you're like, you feel violated. I'd have that feeling knowing that raccoons can just get into my tent.
I just got my car broken into like 3 months ago. I just got my car, maybe end of last year. I just bought all brand new Muay Thai gear and everything. And this motherfucker came in and just jacked everything. Jacked pens, paper, Altoids, all my Muay Thai gear. And like you said, it felt so weird. I was sitting there, it felt like I was just so violated, not in a good way either.
I never thought about that, but yeah, violated seems like it's only a bad word, but sometimes you wouldn't mind being violated a little bit if it's a connotation.
Yeah, you get a couple cocktails if it gets cold enough. I don't have a problem being violated if it was by a couple nice gentlemen. I mean, a couple nice
violent away,
nice raccoons.
Yeah. Yeah, what's going down in that bunker? Let me go. Let me get down there.
Oh, hey. As soon as this whole shit's over with, we will have you in the official.
Oh, we'll have you in the bunker.
That is out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunker's a nice place. I got my dog here chilling with me. It's nice.
Yeah. Did you know we got a new studio where we're doing it?
Yeah, I saw. It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely will miss a lot of aspects about being at Reamp. That was a beautiful studio and we had some great times there. But it's just nice that, you know, this is Duddy's spots, the dirty. It's like, feels like we can do whatever we want to it, you know, and we're not messing up someone else's room or whatever. But so that was an awesome one. So we got a cool scary zone. I mean, you've already told us about pooping yourself, right? Unless you've pooped yourself since.
Why do you got to bring up bullshit? Bullshit. But yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting conversation after that podcast came out. And my wife goes, so I listened to the podcast.
Like,
I was like, how'd I do? He goes, you shit yourself during that little outing? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I hid it from you back then, but now we're married. So what are you going to do?
Dude, it's great. No, the episode that's airing tomorrow. So it was a guy from Through the Roots, Evan, the singer of Through the Roots, and he had his girlfriend here. And she's like a beautiful model. And she just telling us a story about how she had the craziest shit story, dude. And he's just sitting there next to her, just looking at her like, what the fuck?
But it was funny because it sounded like she told him before.
Yeah. It was
like a couple details that he fired off. And I'm like, oh, she told him about this shit escapade that she went on.
Right.
So another new segment that we, and this this one I probably should have told you about sooner because it's hard to just throw this on somebody, but we came up with a segment since you'd last been on called No More Words. And it's like words that we think can actually be eliminated from the like language and it won't matter. Like we eliminated like bay. One of our guests was like, we need to stop with bay, you know? We eliminated like lit, but you know, thinking back on lit, you know, oh, the candle was lit. So we're not trying to get rid of that word entirely, but I think people are done saying that.
Yeah.
This show is lit. I don't know. What were some other, we had some good, are there any bam, words that bother you?
Oh, I was just going to say that.
We also all agreed that the word moist is gross.
Oh.
He's one of the 50% of the people that just can't deal with that word.
I don't know.
Oh, you know what?
You have a word, Daddy?
Someone wrote in. I wish I knew who it was because I read it. They were like, one of your no more words should be fingered.
Okay, it was Jesse Pools.
That is true. That's like no one needs to say finger.
All right, Daddy, let's do this. Let's do it.
All right. More words. I can't hear it.
No more fucking words. Can you hear it now?
Barely. But yeah, you get it. No more words. Yeah.
What about totes?
Totes?
Totes.
Oh, shit. Totes is a good one, too.
Die immediately. That or like gnar?
Gnar. I don't have
a problem with gnarly, but
too
gnar.
Far off, though. Let's give Jesse Rules her credit because she did. She wrote in and she said, I think we can stop with fingered. And I was thinking about it and I'm like, you're right. It's gross. And I'm not sure if there's any other use for it besides fingering someone. Like, yeah, I fingered her. Right. I realize there is. Like, if you're in a courtroom and you go, like, you know, who's the man that you saw running away from the building? And you point at that person, you fingered them officially as well. But
you could say I pointed him out.
You could say I pointed him out. So I think I'm with Jesse on this. It does sound gnarly, right? I'd rather, hey, I finger blasted her than fingered.
Yeah.
Fingered.
Even when you're with your fellas and you're like, oh, dude, I just hooked up with that chick. You would never be like, yeah, I fingered the F out of her. You would never say that. You'd be like, dude, I got with her, or like, sounds like something, down or something.
Yeah, finger sounds like something Anthony would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, gentle giant. So, you know what, Jesse? This one's for you.
Yep.
Fingered is out. We don't really need it. See you later, fingered.
No one has ever been impressed by you telling, no guy has ever been impressed by you saying, hey, bro, I fingered her last night. It's just like, never. Come on.
What happened last night? Was she fingered?
Yeah,
no.
There's no way chicks ever got together. No way chicks ever get together and go, dude, he was so good at fingering me last night. No one ever said that. No chicks ever said that.
Did he finger you?
Yeah.
I was fingered. I mean, fingered to death. I went right to sleep. Now
I'm starting to like the word fingered.
I think I like it. Jesse, we're bringing it back. Oh, dude. An impromptu, no more words. And totes?
Totes is close. Totes is... It's walking right there on the edge.
We have a good solid thought about totes, dude. We might have to get rid of that.
Yeah, I think finger definitely needs to be out. I'm with her.
All right.
Hell yeah. Jesse Rules, dude. Let's give you a little applause. Thank you for that one. Fingered is gone.
See ya.
What else?
What else we got going on? So let's go back to the running things. And just so everyone knows, like, yeah, we had Josh on the show very early on. I think he was one of our first like five guests or six. You were very early on a guest on our show. And Duddy and I, we'd never met Josh. He was suggested to be on our show through another friend of ours. We'd never met him. And after the show, I put on Instagram, I'm going to do a run in January. Josh hit me up and said, hey, that race that you're doing in January, I think I might like to do it as well. And he signed up and we kind of became friends. I ran a race with you in January, you and your wife. And then I ran another race with you guys, the Huntington Beach. We did like a 5K, a real quick one in Huntington Beach in February. And then you and I were actually scheduled to run a 11K trail run last month. That got canceled due to Corona.
Yep.
So have you been running? Have you been what's going on? Are you working out? How are you staying fit for the running portion?
Yeah. So I've been running maybe once, twice a week. I just do like 3 or 5 miles just around the back bay here. But it's interesting. I think the other kind of silver lining with this, I think people have figured out ways to stay fit and stay athletic or stay active with inside their home. So it's pretty amazing. You know, all the other YouTubes that you can see with just a 25-pound kettlebell. So that'll give you a workout in a fucking half. And I know the other cool thing is the camaraderie that's happened between businesses and stuff like this. So like, I know my gym has given out, like loaned out weights and said, hey, just, I want you to stay active. I want you to stay healthy. It's free of charge. You know, my Muay Thai coach gave me a full on big kicking bag. So I hung that up. And so I get to do rounds with the bag. And I know there's other been cool stories, you know, with other companies. There is that one distillery that's making vodka that switched to making hand sanitizer. So there's been a lot of cool things to happen with companies, but yeah, just been trying to stay active, been doing a lot of plyometrics. That's the other thing that I think people realize, that just some body weight squats and some push-ups, you can get a hell of a workout with just 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 50 air squats. Oh, I mean, and you throw in some burpees, you're going to be sweating up a storm, and that's going to be good for you. So just been doing that in the front yard and everything. So
I have been doing what Duddy suggested, you know, with you're watching a show, just get up and do some push-ups. So every night I've been doing that. Like once we put Rocky to bed, my little 1-year-old, by the way, my son also had a birthday this month. You said your birthday was on the 5th and you were planning a big hike and you had invited me and then all this shit happened. So you probably didn't get to do your hike, did you, for your birthday? No. We'll make it up when this is done. My son turned 1 year old 2 days ago. So his first birthday was a quarantine. Yeah. A little applause for little Rocky boy. So yeah, it was funny. We just like Zoom, you know, FaceTime and stuff. But,
that kid is so fucking cute.
So cute.
Oh, Harmony.
He's a little stud, but I've been doing what Duddy suggested a few episodes back. At night, once we put Rocky to sleep, I have a kettlebell, a real light one. I have some light little weights, dude. I'm just doing curls. I'm doing pushups. I'm doing some squats, and dude, you're going to get as pumped as you want to get, you know, and it's not affecting me watching Tiger King. I'm watching it right when I'm doing the workout.
Yeah.
But you said something. So is the Back Bay running trails, are those still open?
Yeah, they are.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they're still open.
Oh, I'm going, because I've just been running boring in around the back of my house in an industrial area.
The Back Bay is open, so it's cool.
Parking lot still open, or you just got to find your way in?
Nope, parking lot's open and everything.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Good. I get to run in an actual pretty environment now, and it's wide, so you're not going to have to touch anybody. Wow. It's a big running area.
Yeah. You know, Jake, sorry to switch gears. I wanted to ask you something. So I read this the other day, and it's been a while since I read it, but you know, as far as having kids, my wife and I don't have kids anymore, but so there was this article I was reading, and they said that, you know, women, they feel like a mother once they know that they're pregnant and know that, you know, they pass that term or those weeks when everything's okay and they're basically going to have that child. But then a father feels that feeling once the kid is born. When you were in that delivery room, I know this is probably a mundane thing, but did you have this overwhelming like wave of feelings that crashed in, or did you have it before during the pregnancy?
I didn't even have that. Like it's really weird. Like neither of us like cried. It's so strange. Like Lorna and I, people that know, I don't know. I don't get super up or super down. I'm usually floating in the middle, although I am kind of it was the same way for me. Like it's now I'm starting to realize like, oh, I'm a dad and this is my dude.
Yeah. So
I loved him immediately. I loved him before he popped out of the belly, all that stuff. But it never occurred to me that I was a dad. I didn't feel like any different change. Now he's like 1 year old. I wrestle with him. He looks at me, he smiles, he runs at me, jumps on me. He knows that I'm his dad and we party together. Now I'm having this crazy emotional thing where I just love this kid so much. And I'm feeling like everything I do, he sees, and I'm shaping who he is. So it was a delayed thing for me.
Yeah.
Obviously I loved him, but the kid is happening now.
How do you get into that skate gang? Do I have to be jumped in or what? How do I get in?
I fucking think you're awesome. And Lorna loved you and your wife when we ran that 5K together in Huntington Beach. So you're a homie. Yeah. You're in the A gang. Duddy loves you. This is your second time on our podcast. You're in, dude. You're in the gang.
Those skate little things that you put on Instagram or Insta stories where you have your little dude on your skateboard in between your legs, the cutest freaking thing. That goes back to that whole, you know, putting a smile on people's face and, you know, with the music and with this podcast, keep putting that positive stuff out there, because I don't care who you are, when you have a cute baby, I mean, I used to do this when I was going through my big depression thing. I used to YouTube babies laughing, and you have to be dead inside if that doesn't put a little smile on your face, you know? Yeah. So keep throwing those out there if you're comfortable with it, because it puts a smile on my face when I see kids. So I just.
Hell yeah, I've got more. I'm like, I don't want to be ridiculous and keep
doing it.
What if people, and people are loving it. When I posted that video to the Feeling Good with Duddy page, it was just insane. People were just like, you just made my day. This is the funniest thing on Instagram today. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to overdo it. But yeah, I should maybe share a little more of Rocky's big smile and just whatever, make people laugh. He makes me laugh all day, that's for sure.
Yep, for sure. Duddy, are you writing a lot during this downtime, or are you?
You know what? Yeah. Well, right when I got back, right when the tour ended, and I came home, we had some songs in progress for the Dirty Heads, and so we finished those up since you know, we've been on quarantine, and we're actually going to start releasing some new Dirty Heads music pretty soon.
Nice.
But yeah, you know, so once we finish that, I've taken a little time off from the writing, but I'm gonna get back into it.
Yeah. What's your I don't know what we're on time, but what's your writing process? Do you just think of a line here, think of a line there, and jot it down in your phone? Do you sit down at a typewriter? Jesus Christ, how fucking old am I? Jesus, you know, how do you write? Do you write on stage? You just fuck around in the studio? Well,
it's just me by myself, like writing. I usually just pick up an acoustic guitar and I'll just kind of sit there and just write. Yeah. But you know, a lot of times too, you know. You know, maybe Jared had worked on a beat with someone else and they just kind of show me the beat or whatever. And then at that point, I like to just put headphones on, maybe walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's really, I just like, my hardest part is I just need that first line. And then once I get that, then it's just, you know, but I just got to get that first line. That's really what I spend a lot of the time on.
Yeah. And I can attest to that in, going back to the science, they said that, you know, if you need to work something out to go and take a walk, that motion and that physical movement and that blood flow will actually stimulate the neurons and stimulate the brain. So if anybody out there is looking to write a blog or trying to figure out what to do or something, try taking a walk, figure out what you want to think about before, and then try taking a walk around the block or whatever and try to work that out. Sometimes, you know, a line will come to you, or just that initial inertia to push that thought process over. Sometimes that's all you need, and then it just starts coming.
And it's like something too, like, to be, you're not just sitting there in your room or whatever, just only concentrating on that, just racking your brain, just like you know, you go out and you're walking around, you're doing something else, so you're focused on the walking and that you're outside, but you're also focusing on those. So it's kind of like you're not just sitting there racking your brain, killing yourself, you know. And then all next thing you know, you're like, oh wait, I got it, this is great, you know.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah,
for sure.
And when you go out for the walk, maybe leave your phone inside.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it ring. And concentrate on the moment. Go, you know what? I'm outside. I'm going to feel the air. I'm going to hear some birds sing.
Yeah.
And nothing else matters for the 10 minutes that I'm walking around the block, you know? And maybe your phone. That's something I've been working on, because I'm always thinking about the future and what's coming next. And I'm like, dude, I'll bump into shelves. I'm clumsy as shit nowadays because I'm constantly thinking about the next podcast or the next. And so Lorna, my wife, lately has been like, hey, live in the moment. Like right now you're home. Take your phone out of your pocket, put it over there, sit on the floor with your son. Don't think about anything except for hanging out with him for 30 minutes. And it's like, that's such a simple thing. I never do that. You have to consciously do that.
Yep.
You have to go, oh, wait a minute. I exist right now in this world. Mm-hmm. I don't exist in 10 minutes from now. And I don't exist 10 minutes in the past. Right now is where I exist. And so, let me just be Jake for 10 minutes. And that's a beautiful thing. And before we, you know, let you go, Duddy and I, we kind of went away from the most wonderful thing about our show, is where we chose a word or a phrase and tried to dive in, you know, to make people feel good, something easy to put into their life. And throughout this episode, I'm sitting here going, well, shit, what? We didn't have a word. We didn't come up with one. But something we talked about a lot was maybe just, I'm thinking maybe, do something new is maybe what I got out of this episode. Like, we're all trapped in our homes. We're all dealing with the same thing. To keep our brains fresh and to keep us feeling alive, maybe I'm thinking, do something different that you don't normally do. And that's also a way to pat yourself on the back. Hey, I've never really done push-ups, but I just did 10. So maybe give us something that you think's important in that field. I know I didn't probably explain that perfectly, but I think you know what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
For everybody that they can plug into their life right now.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to kind of what we talked about a little bit earlier. Do the right things, even though you don't want to do them, and your life will be exponentially better. Do those five things. Stay active. Meditate. Be kind to yourself. Try to stick to a schedule. Try not to overindulge. And then just like you said it freaking perfectly, Jake. Start small. You will be so amazed what you can get done in a week or 2 weeks if you just start small. Start with 10 push-ups today, 11 tomorrow, 12 the next day. It sounds boring. It sounds methodical. But what you're doing, you are retraining your brain to prove to yourself that you do follow through and that you will be proud of yourself. And I'm telling you, everybody listening to this knows that when you're truly proud of yourself, there is one of the best feelings on the face of the planet. So get yourself some laughter, listen to some music, do something to make yourself proud of yourself, and get in front of this before it becomes detrimental. Put your seatbelt on now in case you get into an accident, not because you're going to get into an accident. And whatever you do, I know I say this all the time, but please, please, please be kind to yourself. Give yourself some grace. This is a odd time for everybody. We'll get through it together. Keep listening to Feeling Good with Duddy. I'm not saying that just to say that. Keep listening to Dirty Heads. Put on some freaking James Brown. Do something to put a smile on your face and put a warm feeling in your heart. Look at a baby picture. Whatever it is, it's going to be okay. Just relax. Stay in the present. Choke it. Chunk it down. You got this.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
That's awesome.
So brilliantly said. And that's the that's Josh Canuti, everybody. He's going to be on the show again. He's a friend. And the Overcoming You podcast. And it's like Josh always says, you're not trying to overcome these weird obstacles that other people are putting on you or that exist in the world. You're just overcoming liking yourself and being stoked on you, because it doesn't matter who thinks you're rad or who thinks you suck. If you think you're rad, that's all that matters. And if you think you suck, you need to change that now, because you do not suck. We are all the same freaking, we're just people walking around trying to make sense of this crazy world.
Yep. And that's perfect. So I want to drop this in here too, that Jared sent me this and he told me I should read this. So I'm going to tell you guys, it's perfect for the subject we're talking about too. It's a great book. It's called, I don't know if you see it, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a great book. It touches a lot on what we're talking about here of like, you know, but sometimes you're your worst own enemy, you know, and like overcoming yourself sometimes is the hardest thing. So if you need something to do and kill some time, which I know you do, we all do, check out that book. Once again, that's The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a great book. And they have it on audiobook too. You know what? Throw your headphones on and just walk around the neighborhood at night and listen to it. It's great. That's what I did. It was awesome. It's beautiful, relaxing, nice. Right there, and then when you get back from the walk, you feel really good about yourself. It's a good book. So check it out. And yeah, other than that, dude, Josh, thanks again, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
That was amazing, man. You're the best. We love having you.
Yeah.
I got to go do your podcast one time, man. I would love to.
Please do. Yeah. I'd love to have you guys on. Please.
So much. If you know, like this episode or any of the past, please go leave us a comment, give us a review. It really helps the podcast get noticed and keep going. Also, go over to the Overcoming You podcast, give them a review and a like, and listen to some of his. It's a great podcast. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. Go to cutlassbrand.com and put in code DuddyB for 15% off. We did just actually drop a new men and women's line that we were making before all this happened, and they came in, so we put them out there, guys. Out there. Trust me, I know times are hard. If you can't, I totally understand. But it is there. And right now, too, all through quarantine, every order comes with a signed custom quarantine card from yours truly. Other than that.
Dude, Josh, this was the best episode. It was perfect. I think it's what everyone needs right now. Yeah. Can't thank you enough, dude.
You guys are awesome.
Patreon. We do have a Patreon page, guys. If you want some behind the scenes from this and every other episode and just a bunch of other fun content, go over to patreon.com/feelinggoodwithduddy. And, you know, it's a $4.99 a month fee, but it really does help the podcast keep going and you get a lot of cool stuff with it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, success.
Wash your hands.
Wash y'all hands.
That was good.
That was awesome.
Josh,
So what do I just stop recording now, Anthony?
Well, actually, we can just keep it going. I guess you can just fade it out whenever you want. So we don't have to leave just yet. Duddy can just cut it there. Yeah, stop there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.